Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, I want to say a very happy, healthy 2024 to all of my listeners. Thank you so much for staying with me in 2023, and I'm happy to have you with me in 2024. And as I said, here's to really having a wonderful, productive, and really meaningful year filled with you setting your goals, and not only setting them, but actually working to achieve them. So all the best to all of you, and I look forward to your company on this program today and the following weeks to come. Now, today, I'm really excited to start the first conversation of the year for Visions with Professor Dwayne Devenish. He's a young man, very active at the academic level in terms of teaching at the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus, and doing so much more with his talents and gifts. And one of those gifts that he's using is to help the government of Barbados in designing and implementing the national policy on the improvement of the lives of persons with disabilities. Professor Devenish, welcome to Visions, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Hi, good morning, Yudeli, and Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so Professor, let us start by just learning a little about yourself, because I am so intrigued with your zest and your keenness to just do so many things and contribute. And that is what I really admire about you. So share a little about yourself with us.
Okay, so currently I'm a professor of management and organizational behavior at the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus. I enjoy doing research. I enjoy connecting with various publics in the community, not just in academia, but also in industry. You know, the average man and woman on the street. That is really my life's work, to make an impact. And I've been raised by a hardworking grandmother that has always acknowledged to me that, you know, you have to give your best in anything you do. So I live that particular mantra for all of my life.
Fabulous. And I think that's an excellent mantra to live by, because we need it at the individual level in order for it to manifest at the organizational level. So therefore, that helps us as an organization and even at the macro level to really lift the standards and produce excellence in all that we do at the individual, the mezzo level, and the macro level. So thank you very much for living by that. Okay, so policy. It's a big word that many people misunderstand and generally don't understand. So can you explain for us, what is a policy?
Okay, thank you, Yudeli. All right, so a policy is really a collective effort. And this collective effort could be at the level of an organization. For example, your organization may have a policy to do something, and it's a collective effort to achieve a number of objectives. Okay. Now, when we talk about policy, especially at a national level, we're really talking about a government's collaboration with the private sector, the third sector, or the civil society to work towards achieving certain goals. Now, there are different types of policies that we can kind of play with or experiment with in different disciplines. Like, for example, we have social policies, which are policies that improve the social welfare of a group or vulnerable population. You can also have organizational policies, which support the improvement of some form of organizational reality. It could be productivity, it could be absenteeism. You could have policies for schools. So policies can cut across different social, political, cultural, and economic domains. But the real crux of a policy is to propose a set of measures, initiatives, and recommendations to advance or to fulfill an objective.
Nice. I like that explanation. Okay, we know that the government of Barbados, through the Ministry of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, is looking to, one, ratify the policy or have it passed in cabinet and then have it implemented. So can you guide us through what is involved in this process?
Okay. So for your listeners, just to provide some background, we're discussing the National Policy for Improving the Lives of Persons with Disabilities in Barbados. This is the first and, of course, the most progressive effort to advance the full rights and fundamental freedoms of persons with disabilities in Barbados. Now, the policy actually started in earnest in the earliest part of January 2023. So this is actually a year in the making. And I've actually have some good news for stakeholders who are interested, but the policy was reviewed by Cabinet, especially by a wide cross-section of stakeholders even before that. And I can say that the policy has been approved by Cabinet as of October 2023 last year. So that's the good news. So effectively, there was a policy formulation process, which I was at the center as the lead author. And that started, as I said, in January 2023. Of course, that process involved stakeholder consultations, interviews with persons with disabilities about their needs, their plight, their rights, what suggestions and recommendations and measures they would like to see the government, the private sector, and civil society pursue those types of measures and objectives. So the policy really ended up being 170 pages or so of a suite of measures and recommendations, all coming together to advance and promote the rights and fundamental freedoms of persons with disabilities in Barbados. So given that the policy has reached approval stage by Cabinet as of October 2023, the months that come for us now, especially for this new financial year starting April 1 for government and for some stakeholders, is to develop what we would call an implementation framework that would see the measures that have been expressed in the policy come to life. And I think that's what we're working on since the approval.
And I know that this is one of the big concerns that many citizens with disabilities have is, yes, we have a policy, but then how does it impact my life at the personal, individual level? Any thoughts on that?
Excellent observation. One of the things about policies and one of the things that I have been doing when it comes to policies, and by the way, I actually have crafted a number of policies even before this one. I've actually crafted the recent National Policy for Aging for Older Persons in Barbados last year, as well as the National Youth Policy, which are still in draft and they're moving forward for cabinet review. Now, for any policy that I write, and I usually advocate this in my classes because I teach a course at University of the West Indies entitled Business Strategy and Policy. And one of the things I advocate is that when you develop a policy, it is important that your implementation framework, which should immediately follow the development of a policy, should have different tiers or levels. Now, at the top level, you have what we call the oversight bodies, which would involve, it could be special committees that are multifunctional, including private sector, government, civil society, stakeholders. At the mid-tier or mid-level, of course, that level reports to the top level, which is the oversight committees. You would have what I refer to as functional or divisional committees, subcommittees. So each subcommittee will be responsible or should be responsible for different segments of the policy in terms of objectives and measures. So you might have a subcommittee responsible for accessibility, one for education, one looking at standard of living. So depending on the policy's thematic reach or suite of objectives, you would have subcommittees divided into different functional or divisional areas. Now, below that, and this is getting to your point, it is important that you have what I refer to now as operational bodies or action groups. And these actional groups would make up different organizations like yours, the Barbados Council for the Disabled, for example. It could be a small entrepreneur. This is where it touches the individual communities now and the individual bodies, not just associations, but individuals themselves, where individuals will have an opportunity through some form of feedback mechanism, be able to provide inputs during the implementation process. Now, remember, we've opened up a communication channel that remains open from the start of the designing process of the policy itself. But one of the things I advocate oftentimes is that we have that feedback mechanism continuing even in the implementation process, where the average person with a disability or even someone without a disability can make contributions, because they may very well be caregivers of persons with disabilities, to the implementation process. And keeping that process transparent and open is also critical, usually, especially if we want to be taken seriously by those at the very bottom of our implementation process, which are the individuals themselves.
And I certainly agree with that final point you're making in terms of ensuring that transparency and confidence is built through providing this mechanism feedback, you know, that allow persons to share their thoughts, to share their experiences for the improvement of whatever is being implemented. So that is good news. Okay, so Professor Devenish, what are your thoughts now that you've reached this stage of looking to implement the national policy on improving the lives of persons with disabilities? Compare it to prior to your involvement. Have your thoughts or information around disability changed significantly?
Oh, absolutely, Yudeli. I must say, I think one of the, I would perhaps might say, the greatest advantage that I've taken away from this entire process, being involved in the design and partly the implementation process of this policy, is the fact that my knowledge has tremendously improved on not just the plight and the needs of persons with disabilities, but even the conceptual understanding of what a disability is and the impact that it has, not just on the person with a disability, but on the entire country in different domains, from the tourism sector, the education, the healthcare. I've really gained a lot, beautifully. And I can just share a bit, especially on the thematic areas that the policy covers. For example, one of the first areas that I've gained so much knowledge on is the accessibility area that the policy tackles. And that speaks to not just the physical environment, because normally you would hear a typical Barbadian claim that accessibility, and even a person with a disability, say that accessibility, especially when it comes to the built environment, your roadways, your physical buildings and infrastructure. But when we think about accessibility, we have to go beyond that. We have to look at access to transportation. We have to look at access to equipment and personal mobility resources. We know that the NDU, for example, provides mobility resources, wheelchairs and walkers and canes and so forth. But there are other types of disabilities outside of those related to the mobility to think about. Because for those who are blind, for example, or visually impaired, there's a need for equipment on the island to ensure that schools, for example, or education institutions have access to these equipment and devices, so that learners, whether you are a child learner, a learner who is under the age of 18, or a learner with a disability over the age of 18, can access material, as simple as that, once we have those types of equipment and resources in place, but also access to information and communications in a way that is sensitive to the type of disability that one may have. There's also the need to improve social protection. And that's a serious thing, because we know the issues with the National Insurance Scheme, now relabeled the National Insurance and Social Security Service. We know that there's been a cry from the community of persons with disabilities in Barbados about the need to extend the provisions, the Social Security benefits at that scheme, to ensure that all types of disabilities can be catered to. Awareness building, Yudeli, is another area that the policy tackles. And I think the same way that I've gained knowledge, I think we all know that every individual, whether that individual has a disability or not, should be properly apprised, properly educated about disabilities, how to interact and how to communicate with persons with different types of disabilities, and not just the general public, but this kind of awareness building work has to be targeted to media professionals, to teachers, to police officers, to those in the justice system, the legal fraternity, healthcare sector, across the board. We know that the Ministry of Education is also embarking on a national educational reform exercise. That exercise, thank God, I can attest, has included special needs and even disability-sensitive pedagogical practices. at the different tiers from pre-primary up to tertiary level. And I'm happy for that. But as you know, the devil is not just in the details, but in the execution. So we have to follow that closely. Employment. We know for a long time, persons with disabilities have been restricted access to certain employment opportunities. There's been evidence of discrimination, even though many may argue that evidence is anecdotal. But we know clearly that persons with disabilities have limited opportunities and they're at risk of being rejected by employers when applying to certain vacancies and job offers. So we're hoping that the policy can also refashion and restructure the world of work and the employment sector for persons with disabilities. The healthcare sector, I mentioned that before, that needs a lot of work, especially in terms of diagnostics. We know that we've had a tremendous backlog at the Cecil Graham Center, which is responsible for doing the assessments and diagnosis for young people with disabilities to ensure that they're properly assessed and diagnosed, and then they have the requisite resources and process. Legal recognition, access to justice. Persons with disabilities are at risk of exploitation in their communities. When there's a need for them to seek out justice, when they've been injured in some way, we need that our justice system, our legal system, is properly responsive to the plight of those persons who've been affected, who've been injured in some way, or adversely influenced in some way by their experiences in communities or in any sphere of life. And the policy provides a protective mechanism through training and reforming the justice system. And there are other areas that we can talk about, Yudali, but this policy really is comprehensive. And it covers, by the way, all of the articles of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, which is a convention, by the way, that we've ratified as a country in 2013. And now it is obligatory for the government of Barbados to ensure that these policies and, of course, accompanying legislation is in place.
Right. So, Professor Daphnis, you've said a lot just now. So let's look at some of the major concerns that you've highlighted and your thoughts in terms of how do you think the decision makers, the managers of like the healthcare institutions really seek to not just wait on the national policy, but at their own level, implement, create additional regulations and policies to govern the management and the delivery of services to people with disabilities, especially in the area of rehabilitation.
Excellent point. I think one of the ways in which those in the healthcare sector, the medical services sector, should be able to find relevance in this policy is by working closely with organizations like yours, the Barbados Council for the Disabled, the National Disability Unit, the Ministry of People Empowerment, Elder Affairs, and all sister and brother stakeholder agencies who are poised to advance the rights and freedoms of persons with disabilities. Now, one of the things I can say from a healthcare medical standpoint, within the policy itself, the policy document, is that there is a recommendation from the policy that all medical and health professionals should be part of a process of developing something that I refer to as the national guidelines and protocols in health and medical facilities. Now, what do we mean by the national guidelines and protocols in health and medical facilities? Now, these protocols and guidelines should treat to how all types of medical and healthcare professionals in Barbados should interact and interface with persons with different types of disabilities. We've heard anecdotes of persons with disabilities of sometimes very rude and insensitive treatment by doctors and sometimes nurses in various healthcare institutions. And we're hoping that this attempt to develop a national guideline or protocol in the way you treat or you interface or you interact with a person seeking healthcare attention or service can improve the way and strengthen the competencies that a healthcare professional, whether that profession is a doctor, pharmacist, a nurse, anyone who works in that sector, how that person really treats to those individuals with disabilities. So I think that's the first starting point. After that, we have to look at our systems because there's the people side of it in terms of training. And of course, training will be part of that national guidelines conversation. Training and developing our staff in the healthcare and medical sector to better interface. But the other part is the systems. We have a lot of systems that are outmoded, that are insensitive to the needs of persons with disabilities. We have to relook at those systems and be able to revise them. And over the life course of this 7-year policy, we're looking to do a number of things. For example, one of the systems that we want to focus on is the development of a fast track or prioritization system, which will help expedite the servicing and processing of persons with disabilities seeking care at healthcare facilities. So if I have a particular disability and I have been injured, let's say in a car accident, and I was rushed to accident and emergency, as part of the triaging process, that definitely should be taken into account. And of course, using the fast track process, I should be able to be fast tracked under reasonable grounds into getting my particular situation assessed and of course, remediated. So there are a number of things that I can talk about here. Making reasonable accommodations in the healthcare sector. We still have facilities, public and private, in Barbados, healthcare facilities that do not accommodate sufficiently the needs of persons with disabilities who are coming into those institutions seeking care. But if you look at it on the other side, we have persons with disabilities who offer healthcare service, who work as healthcare professionals, and they themselves, as employees in some of these institutions, would benefit from the adjustments and accommodations in the physical and other forms of structural properties being changed and reformed in those institutions to better accommodate their needs.
Excellent, excellent. This is really exciting, Professor Devlish. I can't help but think of the many opportunities for citizens with disabilities, professionals who work in the field of disability, and just our country as a whole to be involved and really help in the process of transforming our country and making it extremely accessible and accommodating to its citizens and visitors with disabilities. So I'm really excited about this. And I must say a special thank you to you, Member of Parliament Edmund Hinkson, and the advisory team that did tremendous work on this project. Now, Professor Devlish, I'm excited, you're excited, and we're hoping that everyone will get excited about it. What do you see as the next step in terms of helping our citizens with disabilities, primarily to build up that enthusiasm about what can happen and need to happen and playing their part in making this happen?
Okay. So I think the first step for the average Barbadian, the average resident of Barbados to get on board is to put yourselves as someone who can volunteer on executing a number of these services. One of the things that will definitely happen at the start of the implementation process would be a call for individuals and organizations to come out to be part of the implementation teams, to be part of the process of executing the strategies and measures. So I think it's important that Barbadians and residents of Barbados make themselves available to be called upon to really participate in improving the plight of persons with disabilities in the country. I think a kind of a concomitant step or activity that should be in place for all Barbadians is to improve their awareness and knowledge. Barbadians themselves can take personal responsibility to educate themselves about persons with disabilities, about disabilities in general, and about the rights and freedoms, especially articulated from the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. I would also say that Barbadians get their hands on the policy, which by very soon, hopefully by the next month or so, should be made accessible through different channels, social media, websites, perhaps on the ministry's website. This is the Ministry of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, and through other channels. So make yourselves available to access and read that policy in full detail to see exactly what is going to be happening. And of course, I think once we have those two steps, making yourself available to volunteer, to contribute on the implementation front, and to improve your awareness and education, I think those are important first steps for getting people on board, whether you have a disability or not.
I certainly agree with those projections as the way forward. And I would join my voice to yours and encourage all citizens to get involved and, you know, make themselves available to give, contribute to our national development in this particular area. Now, Professor Devenish, you've mentioned the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities a couple of times during our conversation. Can you explain the convention and why it is so important for us as a country?
Okay, thank you, Yudeli. So the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability is an international treaty framework that supports, advances, and promotes the rights and fundamental freedoms of all persons with disabilities across the global landscape. Now, Barbados actually had signed and in 2013 ratified that convention. And what that effectively means is that Barbados now is under legal obligation as a country to ensure that its regulatory environment, which involves its policy frameworks like what we have in place, its legislative frameworks, the laws of the country, are all brought into renewal or revision, or in many cases, complete reform to ensure that those fundamental rights and freedoms expressed by the convention are fully respected, protected, and preserved at the local or national level. Now, there are 50 articles of the convention. A large segment of those are operational in the sense that they tackle a number of areas from accessibility, education, health, employment, awareness building, the legal and justice side of affairs in the country, protection from disasters and emergencies. So I can go on and on, but effectively each article in the convention speaks to a particular right, fundamental right and freedom that a person with disability or more should have protection over. And that is where the country's ratification comes into place, because now the country is in that obligatory position to ensure that those fundamental rights and freedoms are protected at the local level through its revision, as I said, or reformation of its legislative policy and even operational structures and systems. So effectively, this policy came as a response to that ratification to ensure that not only does the country tackles all of those barriers to those freedoms, but also provide a kind of a structured regime of sorts that guides the country in the form of its government, civil society, and private sector stakeholders in pursuing the objectives fundamental to that convention and, of course, companion to this policy.
Nice. Well, Professor Devenish, it really has been a joy talking with you and just being reinvigorated with the information you're sharing. And I want to say thanks for the work you have contributed to also promoting the rights of persons with disabilities. And I look forward to your continued work in this field as well. So I will give you the opportunity to, you know, share your final thoughts as we look to move forward.
Okay, thank you, Yudeli. And I'm going to keep this short. One, my first thought or first comment is that Barbados, we now have a policy, a national policy for improving the lives of persons with disabilities. Please get your hands on that policy, read the contents, understand where the country is going in supporting and assisting persons with disabilities on the island. Secondly, make yourselves available. Very soon, we will be reaching out for support from individuals, organizations, communities to assist in the implementation of these various measures over a 7-year period. And we're looking for all hands on deck. And Yudeli, thank you and your organization. I also thank MP Hinkson for leading that charge in 2021, 2022 in advocating for the policy and for his and his committee's trust in me in producing this deliverable. And I thank all stakeholders who have participated in this entire process of getting the first ever policy for Barbados for improving the lives of persons with disabilities on this island. Thank you.
Thanks again. And I look forward to chatting with you a few months down the road as we look and continue the conversation about the upgrades relating to the policy. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest, Professor Dwayne Deppenish. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or on 1-246-430-7300. And of course, via the email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB92.9.com website. Look for the podcast Visions and voila. So until next week, be productive, love yourself, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.